Friday, April 20th. Welcome to Fight Night Picks Episode 3. So this is basically our first Friday episode of the podcast. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to break down the fights from this weekend, like upcoming. And we're going to go through, highlight some of the important fights, go over the main cards, offer my predictions. That's going to be the bulk of the episode. We have a lot of MMA this weekend as well. There's quite a few marquee boxing matchups. I said on Monday that they were next week, and I had it written down they were on the 28th. But no, they're actually both on the 21st, both cards that I'm referring to. So let's get right into it. I'm going to offer my picks on UFC Fight Night Lee versus Barboza. Really good card, stacked top to bottom, just like last week's card was in Glendale. I kind of offered a bit of a prediction on Monday, excuse me, but I've got Lee winning the main event. I think he's going to overpower Barboza. We saw Barboza in his last fight get beat up on the ground by Khabib. A lot of good takedowns on Khabib's part. Like I said, some ankle picks, good level changes, and I think Lee's going to be able to carry some momentum. You know, he did have some success against Tony Ferguson before he succumbed to the triangle choke, but I really think Lee's going to be able to show off his wrestling and beat Barboza. So, main event, take Lee. And, you know, even if it doesn't go his way, It's not going to go to decision, so I definitely pick a finish in that fight. Co-main, we've got Frank Yeager versus Cub Swanson. Both guys coming off losses to Brian Ortega. They both fought each other in 2014. Yeager won the fight by neck crank. I gave a prediction on this fight on Monday. Prediction hasn't changed. Take Frank Yeager in that fight. He's going to come out on top, and I think he's going to come away with a finish, too. It's not going to go to decision. Fight before that, actually, from what I had seen, it was an undercard fight, but now I see it's a main card fight. You got 6-1 Justin Willis taking on Chase, the Vanilla Gorilla Sherman. He's 11-4. Sherman's been 2-3 in his 5 UFC fights. His last fight, he lost by TKO to Shamil Abdurakhimov. And that was in the first round of the fight. Justin Willis is 2-0 in the UFC, and you know, that only loss in a 6-1 was his first professional fight. He lost by TKO. Chase Sherman is a wonderful Twitter personality, and not a knock against him, but he kind of takes it easy on the feet. You know, he's a stand and trade kind of guy. Doesn't really go for too many takedowns, not a lot of level changes. You're not going to see a big submission out of him. And Justin Willis has got a lot of power. If you look at the odds, I know Willis is a favorite. I think I saw somewhere he was, you know, around the minus 200 range. I definitely take Willis to win the fight. You might not see a finish in this fight. It's probably going to go to decision, but it should be a really good fight. I mean, it's on the main card for a reason, so I really look forward to this. Fight before that, we have Thiago Santos versus David Branch. I also gave a prediction on this fight on Monday, but hopefully this is a fight that we're going to see Thiago Santos kind of propelled into that title conversation in the middleweight division. His last 4 fights, he's won by TKO, and he's got some of the hardest kicks in the game. I even mentioned I was able to go to UFC Fight Night Halifax last February, and main event was Derek Lewis and Travis Brown, and we get to see Thiago Santos wheel kick poor Jack Marshman for one of those 4 TKO wins. So, you know, in person, it's even better to watch. You can see him line up those kicks. You can see him kind of try and find his range. And then after a while, it's just, and the guy's out. So, you know, David Branch wasn't able to find too much success in his last fight against Luke Rockhold. He was able to push Luke up against Cage in the first round. And he landed probably 5 or 6 good shots square to Rockhold's face. But somehow Rockhold was able to withstand it. And then in the next round of the fight, he was able to take Branch down and lay him out flat and get the TKO win. So David Branch, you know, he's been hit or miss in the UFC. He was really good in his time away, 2-division champ. but I really think that Santos is going to be able to win this fight, and like I said, raise his stock that much more. Fight before that, we have Brett Johns taking on Aljamain Sterling. Johns 15-0, won his last fight by calf slicer, which is a submission that you don't often see. And Sterling, in his last fight, he was knocked out by Marlon Moraes. So it's a tough fight to pick. It really is. You know, a 15-0 record, you look at that automatically, you think, hey, Brett Johns is going to win the fight. But don't ever count Aljamain Sterling out. He trains in New York with Ray Longo and Matt Serra. Really good fighter. You know, he can point standing up. He can really work the takedowns. He's a really well-rounded fighter. Whereas if you look at Brett Johns, he's great on the ground. That's definitely his specialty for sure. I'm going to pick Brett Johns to win the fight. I think he's going to be able to pull off the submission. You know, it's going to be tough against a guy like Sterling. He's long. He's a really good fighter, but Johns should be able to get that win and move his record to 16-0. So, fight before that, I think it's the last fight on the undercard. We got Jim Miller versus Dan Hangman Hooker. It's another top lightweight fight like we had last weekend. We've got some more this weekend. In Hooker's last fight, he beat Mark Jacasey, which was an eye-opener for sure. You know, you look at him, you look at his record, you might think Dan Hooker's not the greatest fighter, but, I mean, Mark Jacasey comes in there with those karate kicks and, you know, the crazy hairstyle with the red dye, and Hooker was able to win. He got the guillotine win, so good on him. He's fighting a Jim Miller who's lost his last three fights by decision. You know, some of them were fairly close. The losses, if you actually look at them, it was to Poirier, Pettis, and Francisco Trinaldo. So, good fighters for sure. Last time he came off multiple losses, the UFC actually gave him Takanori Gomi, and he was able to get a knockout win. So, this time around, it's not going to be so easy. He's fighting a guy who's got some momentum behind him. And, you know, if you look at Hooker, he's been 5-3 in the UFC. With two big wins in a row. He had a TKO or KO. He had Ross Pearson and then again Jacasey. So I'm going to pick Hooker to win the fight. I'm a big Jim Miller fan. Honestly, I'll admit it. He's a great fighter. He's been around for a long time. Really exciting guy. And if you get a chance, go on Twitter and have a look at his Conor McGregor cocaine song. It's pretty funny. So keep that in mind. But yeah, I'm going to take Hooker in this fight. And then another couple of fights that I'm going to focus on the undercard. I'm not going to go over every single one of them, but a really interesting one would be Patrick Cummins taking on Corey Anderson. Cummins 10-4, Corey Anderson 9-4. Anderson's the favorite in the fight. I don't totally agree with the odds makers on that one. If you have a look, Cummins has won his last two fights, either by majority decision or split decision. So, you know, again, you never want to go to decision if you're a fighter, but Cummins was able to come out on top, and that was against Jan Blachowicz and Jean Vellante, those two wins. And then Corey Anderson, if you look at his record, I mean, 9-4, it's not that bad in a light heavyweight division, but any important fight that he's fought in the UFC, he's come out on the wrong end. He's lost to Shogun, he's lost to Jean Vellante, and his last two fights were either TKO or KO losses to Jimmy Manoa and OSP. So I mean, just right there looking at that, it kind of shows me that Cummins might be able to pull off the win. I mean, he's 37 years old, but you got a champion in the light heavyweight division who's 39. You got some older guys kicking around. It's not the division that it used to be. So I think Cummins, he's going to be able to use, you know, that Division I Penn State type wrestling that he's got. And he's going to be able to wear out Corey Anderson. It's going to be a fight that's most likely going to go to decision. I mean, in Anderson, he's Division III wrestler. Don't take anything away from him. He's a purple belt in BJJ, but Cummins has superior wrestling for sure. And I think we're going to see Cummins come out on top. So that might be a good pick if you're looking to put some money down with Cummins being the underdog. And then one more fight on that undercard. We've got 6-0 Aspen Ladd taking on Leslie Smith. Pretty sure I gave my pick on Monday, but I'll give it again. You know, Ladd's won her last four fights by TKO. She has four TKO wins in that bantamweight division. And I mean, it's a thin division. You see that division in the 125 division. There hasn't been a fight for the title since the Ultimate Fighter season finale. So definitely going to be excited. Hopefully in that 125, we'll get to see Nico Montano fight Valentina Shevchenko. And I really think Shevchenko is going to come away with a win. She's one of the best female fighters, let alone in that division. But back to bantamweight, you know, it's a thin division. You've got Cyborg as your champ. Leslie Smith fought Cyborg in Cyborg's first fight in the UFC, coming from Invicta. And it was kind of a, you know, a coming out party. People weren't totally aware of who Cyborg was. You know, she's got notable wins over Holly Holm now. She beat Gina Carano. So she's a really popular fighter for sure. And Smith lost that fight by TKO. So, I mean, to me, I really think Ladd's going to win. You know, Smith's won her last two fights, and she's got the momentum behind her, but you're trying to take the zero away from Ladd, so I pick Ladd in that fight for sure. So the other cards that we have this weekend, we've actually got one going on right now, so I'll give you my pick for the main event. So in Manila, we've got ONE Championship Heroes of Honor. It's a striking super series is what they're billing it as. And you're going to have Muay Thai, kickboxing, and MMA fights. And in the main event, it's an MMA contest between Andrew Leone against Kevin Bellingen. I said on Monday, pick Bellingen. If you have a look at his record, he's a lot stronger in the feet. So if you have a chance and you can watch it, you know, the prelims are going on right now. They're live on Facebook and Twitter. When I had a look at Twitter, they were going on. So maybe check that one out if you have some time there this morning. And this afternoon, you know, time difference between here and Manila in the Atlantic time zone is quite a bit. So I'm able to watch the fights here now. And then tonight we have LFA 37 coming from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You got 7-1 Sid Bice taking on 5-1 Michael Perez. I'm going to take the 5-1 Perez in that fight. His ground game's good. He's firing on all cylinders. So if you have a chance tonight, take a look at LFA. You know, they usually have pretty strong cards. I see they've got a 21-year-old female fighter who's a super prospect. So if you get a chance, have a look at LFA. You never know. You can't really go wrong. Tomorrow, Saturday, we have ACB 85 from Rimini, Italy. Main event, Anthony Leone taking on Magomed Ginashov. I'm going to take Ginashov in that fight. Think he's going to be able to pull off the win. And then I mentioned on Monday an interesting fight that's going to kick off the card. If you have a look, it's a flyweight bout. You're not going to hear many people rant and rave about flyweight bouts, but 7-0-1 Yoni Sherbatov's taking on 9-2 Miguel Felipe Buenas da Silva. Sherbatov was actually featured on season 24 of The Ultimate Fighter, and he lost by submission to Eric Shelton. So kind of got his name out there, fighting in ACB. He's got a gym in Laval, Quebec that he fights out of, which is kind of neat. He's got a really good record, and he's in a good division for ACB. You got Askar Askarov, 9-0, in who's champ in that division. All finishes, and I've heard rumblings that he might be coming to the UFC after his next fight. So I really think Sherbatov's probably next to grab that crown and that flyweight title. So definitely a good event to have a look at tomorrow. Also tomorrow, I kind of glanced over it on Monday. Now I'm going to really focus on it. So from the Barclays Center, we've got professional boxing that's going to be on NBC. And I've watched a few cards on the NBC Boxing League. And they've got Al Michaels and a few others that aren't really, you know, boxing guys. But they do put on a good show. And the card that I did watch, Michael C. Williams was a ring announcer that you'll recognize from Bellator. So it's kind of neat. And definitely, if you get a chance to check out the press conference yesterday, I know Adrian Broner kind of ran his mouth a bit. And he called out one of the promoters that's actually sitting right next to him. So it made it pretty entertaining. That's tomorrow night, of course, like I said, from the Barclays Center. So the main event is Adrian Broner versus Jesse Vargas. Broner's 33-3-1, and Vargas is 28-2. And it's a 144 catchweight fight. From what I've seen, both fighters have kind of fought above and below that 144 limit. So it's kind of a good middle ground for the two. Broner's last loss came to Mikey Garcia. It wasn't a really flashy Broner-style fight. Garcia, of course, undefeated fighter, one of the best, you know, pound for pound out there. And Vargas' last loss actually came to Manny Pacquiao in 2015. So I'm going to offer my prediction. I think that the Broner's going to lose, actually. He was all talk yesterday. He put on a good show. I've read that he's got a new team around him, you know, a no-nonsense type team. But I really think that Vargas is going to win the fight. It's going to go to decision either way, but I'm going to take Vargas in this. It's definitely going to be an entertaining event for sure. And you don't often get to see, you know, a big name like Broner fight. But hopefully it's an entertaining fight. But like I said, I've got Vargas. Fight before that, we've got Jermall Charlo. You might recognize his name because he has a twin brother, Jermall, who's also a stud. He's 26-0 with 20 knockouts. And he's taking on Hugo Centeno, who's 26-1. It's for the WBC interim middleweight title. Right off the bat, I'm going to take Charlo. You know, 26-0, 20 knockouts. He's a really entertaining fighter. Him and his brother, they both fought top talent, and they're starting to get to the tops of their respective divisions. But I'm definitely going to take Jermall. And then what I think is the most exciting fight on that card, we've actually got one of the Mayweather-type approved fighters, Gervonta Davis, 19-0 with 18 knockouts, taking on Jesus Cuellar, who's 28-2 with 21 knockouts. So, I mean, two guys that can stand and trade in the 133 division. It's for the WBA super featherweight title. You know, there's been talk, and it's been Davis himself and others that have said that he might come to MMA, which is really exciting. You know, he could really fit himself well into the flyweight or bantamweight divisions of the UFC, most likely bantamweight. But I think he's going to win this fight. It's going to be a knockout either way. It's going to be a finish, so it should be a really entertaining fight. And, of course, Gervonta Davis is quite a big name. And then another fight that might have flown under the radar for some, we've got a separate promotion. Amir Khan's fighting Phil LaGreco from Echo Arena in Liverpool, and that's also tomorrow night. You know, if you have a look at Khan's record, he's beaten top guys. He's been title holder. In his last fight, he lost by knockout in the sixth round to Canelo. I thought that he won the first three rounds of that fight. You know, it's arguable. He definitely won the first two for sure. The third was either way. And then Canelo started to push the pace. He kind of spaced out the ring, and he was able to pull off, you know, a clean knockout against Khan. So Khan hasn't fought since 2016. If you look at Phil LaGreco's record, Canadian, he's from Toronto. From what I've seen, he trains in Las Vegas. And he's probably most famous for his TKO loss to Errol Spence Jr. in 2015. That was on one of those NBC Premier Boxing Live cards. But LaGreco came in on short notice. It was a good fight. But again, Errol Spence Jr. is another one of those top guys. And it was a good win for him for sure. There's been talk this week that Amir Khan, win or lose, might retire after this fight. I just read today that Khan said that if he loses, he's going to retire for sure, which is something you don't really want to hear a guy say before a fight, but I think his mind's going to be in the right place. The fight's in Liverpool. He's a Brit himself, so he should be able to pull off the win. It's definitely going to go to decision. If you've ever watched a Khan fight, maybe you haven't, and you're totally new to boxing, but Khan's one of the quicker guys out there, really speedy hands. That's one of the things that he showcased in those first two or three rounds against Canelo. I mean, it was a huge fight, took place at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. He's quick, he's in and out, his footwork's spectacular. And I think against LaGreco, he's really going to be able to showcase. You know, he's had a long layoff, he's coming off a big loss, but there's some questions for sure. But I think Khan's going to be able to come away with a win. And, you know, it could restart him. He's only 31, so it could be a good reboot for him. Another thing that we're going to do on Fridays is I'm going to go over some top announced fights from this week. Just as a good way to kind of get you pumped for weeks to come. So we're going to start off UFC 225. Couple extra fights added to the card. It's going to be headlined by Robert Whittaker versus Yoel Romero. I mentioned last week that CM Punk and Mike Jackson were added to the card, two 0-1 fighters, but Punk's a big name. Both guys lost those professional fights to Mickey Gall, who then lost a fight to Randy Brown. But, you know, Mickey Gall, he's got wins over Sage Northcutt, Mike Jackson, and CM Punk. So he hasn't fought in a while, but hopefully we'll be able to see him here soon, maybe this summer. But UFC 225, they added Megan Anderson versus Holly Holm. That's a top bantamweight fight. Holm's record in her last six hasn't been very good. In her last few fights, she lost the title, arguably, to Jermaine Durandamy. I had Holm winning by decision, regardless of punches after the bell. Excuse me, but the judges saw it Durandamy's way, who then vacated the title, and Cyborg was able to win it. So Holm challenged for that title and lost. Now she's going to fight Megan Anderson. Some were hoping that Anderson would come out and fight Cyborg straight up for the title, because there's not a lot of depth to that division. Anderson hasn't fought in a while either, mind you, coming from Invicta. But I think it's going to be an interesting fight. I'm not going to offer prediction this early, but it should be a really good fight, and it's definitely going to be a main card fight. Another fight added to 225 is Clay the Carpenter Guida. He's going to fight Bobby Green. That should be a really entertaining fight. Two guys that really love to stand and trade and put on a good show. UFC 226, Yancy Medeiros is taking on Mike Perry. It's a shame to say. I know I see Yancy yesterday, and it could have been before that, but yesterday it was announced that he had re-signed with the UFC, which is a really good thing. Yancy, for sure, one of those exciting fighters, lost his last fight to Cowboy, but it was a lot of fun and a good show for sure. But Yancy taking on Mike Perry. You know, Mike Perry's kind of been sputtering of late, hasn't been able to really get a win, hasn't really looked good. You know, he was pretty bloodied in his last fight. I see him turning a corner here for sure. Think he's going to be able to get the win over Yancy. Medeiros, I don't know if his chin's there like it used to be, but yeah, I think Perry's going to be able to get the win, and it should be a good fight on that 226 card. Then another few fights added to UFC Utica. We have Leonardo Santos taking on Nick Lentz. That should be a good one. And then we also have Desmond Green taking on Gleison Tibau. Two guys coming off of losses. If you look at Desmond Green, it was a good show in his last fight, but wasn't able to get that win. Lost by decision. But UFC Utica is really shaping up to be a good card. Those New York fans are gonna get something special for sure. UFC Fight Night 132 is actually announced that it's going to take place in Singapore. Main events, Cowboy Cerrone taking on Leon Edwards. And actually this week, another couple of fights added to that card. We have OSP and Tyson Pedro in that late heavyweight division. Should be a good fight. You know, both fighters offer different styles. OSP's good on the feet, good on the ground. Tyson Pedro was able to get a submission win in his last fight, so should be a good fight for sure. And then I see also that Jake Matthews is going to be on that card. So usually when they have fights in that area, they usually add, you know, guys from Australia. You'll see guys from New Zealand as well. So it's really good to see some fighters that you don't get to see too often. And they usually always put on a good card. So UFC Fight Night 132 in Singapore, definitely something to watch. We also saw kind of turning corners from the UFC that PFL, they added all their dates. Actually, I think the last three or four are to be announced, and the venues are to be announced. But they're going to be on NBC. From what I've seen, all the fights are going to be in the state of New York. Whether they're in Long Island at Nassau Coliseum, at Barclays, you know, they're kind of spread out a bit. But some names that you might notice: Rick Story's competing in that lightweight division, as well as Will Brooks, former Bellator champ, didn't really have a great run in the UFC. Their prize is kind of a head scratcher. It's a $1 million competition. But I think for the talent that they have, they probably didn't need a prize that big. It's pretty rich. to have guys that have kind of sputtered in other leagues, haven't really kind of found their footing as of late. But, you know, it's going to be a good show for sure. And NBC is really trying to show that they're going to be able to bring back their MMA. So like I said earlier, Yancy Medeiros, it was announced that he'd signed a new deal with the UFC. Gustafsson in the light heavyweight division, he was also able to sign a new contract, and he said that he's gonna be fighting in the near future. So, you know, a top five guy, and in my mind, I think in that light heavyweight division, the UFC, you've got DC, you've got John Jones, you've got Alex Gustafsson. So, I think sometime soon, Gustafsson's finally gonna be able to win that belt. Whether we see, you know, there could be a few different scenarios. DC wants to fight John Jones. That could be just talk. DC's going to fight Stipe this summer. And then who knows, win or lose, he could retire. So that could open up a chance for Gustafsson to fight for the title in light heavyweight. You never know. But really exciting fighter for sure. His last win was against Glover Teixeira. He was able to throw a kind of a 4 or 5 punch combo, knock him out, and that was a great fight. So really hope that we get to see Gustafsson soon, and you never know, he could finally win that title. Biggest news I've seen from this week was actually there's talk, and I'm pretty sure it's more than talk, that ESPN and Fox are going to team up on a joint bid to promote the UFC. So I've seen different scenarios where fight nights are going to be spread out, let's say on Fox. They're going to try and get rid of the Fight Pass prelims, and they're going to put them on ESPN. I've seen different things, and I've also seen pretty high dollar amounts for that bid, which is kind of a surprise because, to my understanding, going into 2018, if there was no deal between the UFC and Fox, there wasn't anybody else really looking to bid. And that dollar amount per year was gonna go down. So I've seen the bid from anywhere from, I think it was about $250 million a year to $320 million a year. So definitely a lot more than I had expected. And something to watch, you know. One night you might turn on the TV to watch UFC on Fox, and it's actually on ESPN. So have a look at that. It could be good. You know, more coverage. You could have more fights. So really interesting development, and something that we're going to follow up on for sure. So that about does it for episode 3 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. We're a little bit shorter than the last episode. Like I said, in the coming weeks, we'll definitely be adding guests. It won't just be me, and we'll be adding sponsors for sure. So we'll be able to draw it out a little bit longer. But actually, if you go on our website, fightnightpicks.net, if you have a look at our About Us page, you can see me dressed to the nines, and I'm actually nearing the end of completion of my BBA at UMB here in Fredericton, and so tomorrow I have the last of finals week, the last exam, so focus on that here for the rest of today and tomorrow. Enjoy those fights this weekend. And next week, you know, exams are over, and you guys are my main focus. So Fight Night Picks podcast episode number 4 will be coming out on Monday. We'll recap what happened this weekend, you know, everything in boxing, and what MMA has to offer, as well as ONE Championship with their Muay Thai, kickboxing, and MMA. And like I said, yeah, fresh take on all those fights. So have a good weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.